Welcome to On the Mark, a podcast series that explores the effects on various industries of the COVID pandemic and how companies have survived and thrived during these difficult times and beyond. Now that we're beyond the initial effects of COVID, we're going to explore how long-lasting these effects are. I am your host, Howard Mark Rubin, and this podcast series came about as a result of my realization that as an attorney representing clients in multiple industries, that this pandemic has affected different industries in different ways. It's also, in some industries, been a plus. Some industries, it's been a negative. Some are going to continue doing business they did during the COVID pandemic. Some are going to go back to the way they operated before the COVID pandemic. This podcast series is sponsored by the Strategic Forum, which was founded in 1999 in New York City and expanded in 2004. In South Florida. It's an organization consisting of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business leaders who believe in forming deep business and personal relationships based on mutual respect and trust and continual learning and intellect enrichment. Current membership of the Strategic Forum represents a diverse group from public and private businesses and organizations. I have an exciting guest today who's also a member of the Strategic Forum. His name is Michael Galkin, and Michael's company is Voice Next, and we'll be talking about the effects of COVID in the communication industries. Michael is a serial entrepreneur, having started his first company in his freshman dorm room. To taking another public, he has the vision to set up a company like a blank painting and turn that vision to reality. With over 35 years' experience in the telecommunications industry, his present company, Voice Next, received the Entrepreneur Magazine E360 Award and recognizing the top 360 entrepreneurial companies. He was recognized as a finalist in the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, as well as receiving an Inc. 500 Award. Michael, welcome.
Welcome.
So tell us a little about what Voice Next is and what it does.
Sure. Voice Next, we're a cloud communication company. We provide companies with phone systems that use the cloud to connect. So kind of the newer way of communicating. Everything's going from regular old phone lines to more intelligent internet connections. So we've internet-enabled your phone system and made it much more powerful.
So someone who presently uses Verizon or AT&T would switch to you? How would that
work? Well, they could, but it's really for people who have older phone systems, like the old Avaya systems and those old phone systems that businesses used to have. If you connect those to old-fashioned phone lines, you don't get the ability to move around. So during COVID, if you had one of those old systems, you were kind of stuck in the office, and the calls were stuck in the office. With our kind of system, because it's all internet connected, we really don't care if you have 10 people in one office or 10 people in 10 different places. It's really the same 10-person phone company.
And what challenges did your company face during the COVID pandemic?
One of the bigger challenges we had was just the mere fact that all of our clients decided to move out at the same time. so it would be... a hotel has a staff to rechange all the rooms and right. But if at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday with no preparation, if everybody checked out and they had to redo all the rooms, it would get kind of right. A little crazy. So pretty much almost on the same day, a lot of our clients had the same issue where they went from working in their office to working remote. And we helped them get through that process by, we've got an app that can go on your cell phone. We've got, the ability to take a phone home. You can literally unplug your office phone, plug it into your home internet, and it's as if you're in the office. So our clients kind of, it's great that we have clients that are, our clients kind of get it. Like to become a VoiceNext client, you had to have some kind of, I got it, and I'm interested in technology. I'm interested in the next best thing. And so we didn't lose too many clients during COVID. A lot of companies did go out of business. It was a horrible time for a lot of companies. We didn't really lose a lot because our clients kind of get technology. We help them leverage it to the hilt to get them up and running and stay up and running through the entire adventure.
So do you find now that these companies that have made these changes to work more remotely and that you made these changes, are they going back to the offices or are they most continuing to work that they did during COVID?
I think the biggest change is some are making the full pendulum swing, but a lot of companies are making a half a swing where, a hybrid work environment seems to be, 2 or 3 days in the office and a couple of days remote. My son just graduated Elon University last year and joined a company, and they went from going to being in the office to a hybrid environment. They went back to a hybrid environment after. A lot of our clients went, you know, 3 days in the office and 2 days remote.
Right. Do you find that the younger generation, the Generation Z, look at working hybrid differently than the older generation? Is there a difference?
They're not. I think the older generation is interested in hybrid work environment. The younger generation is in just total remote. So I think it's not even farther than that. I think it's gone to, right. You know, not, you know, let me work remote the whole time, or maybe an office optional environment where, you know, a couple times a month as opposed to a couple times a week.
Do you think it's healthy to have people work full-time remote? To me, it seems like it can result in a lot of loneliness, disconnection. It can result in people not being able to strategize together in the same way. They can't communicate over Zoom or Microsoft Teams the same way they can in person. Do you think it's a good thing and it's as effective as it is when people are in the same room?
I think it's a double-edged sword. Let's take accounting. Accounting is a great example. Okay. During tax season, we've got a lot of some larger accounting offices with hundreds of people. And when you're working on something and you're an associate, you know, and you go have a quick question for the senior partner, you literally walk over, you talk for 5 minutes, you get done, you go back, and you're done. Working in remote, you have to make a meeting and this and that. It takes a lot longer. So I think it could be detrimental in that kind of situation where you have a lot of companies that need to have a lot of quick little meetings. It makes it a little bit tougher to do. It also makes it brings your people up a little bit higher too. So the associate who might go, if they're in the office to a partner and say, you know, I'm 95% sure. Let me just find that. You know, I said, you know what? I'm sure. I'm good. I'll only go for the really important things. So it's helped streamline work and made things more efficient by not getting as many interruptions. You know, your staff has gone moved up in the chain and made more decisions at a lower level than pushing all the decisions up to the top.
Do you think, though, forgetting about business for a minute, I'm talking about personally for the person to not have as much interpersonal communications contact, to be working in your own little space somewhere, mm-hmm. 5 days a week,
right.
not hybrid, but mm-hmm. working permanently. We had issues like that with TikTok. Should younger children be on TikTok for large amounts of time? Do you think it's healthy for us and for the society as a whole and for those individuals to have such little connection in personal connection with other people?
It's kind of, I do and I don't. It's kind of one of those things. So the younger generation is definitely more interested in multiple kinds of communication. There's lots of texting going on. There's other, you know, short form video is TikTok. They want to communicate differently. So if you were an airline in the 1960s, you had a phone and you made reservations. Now the first airline in the world, Frontier, not a great airline to start with, but they don't have a phone system anymore. You can't call them anymore. You literally cannot call the airline. They only do chat.
Wow.
I don't think that's a good idea. I think that's gone too far because some things, if they had a great website, and I've been a Frontier customer if they don't have a great website, so if the website does something and you can't do it, it's almost impossible to make a happy customer because they weren't very good at phone calls before. Now they're not very good at anything, now any kind of communication. So there's just a total lack of communication there. So I think that's going to be ultimately detrimental to the airline growing. But going back to the interpersonal stuff, we were kind of a progressive company, and our corporate office is down the New Jersey Shore, at the tip of the New Jersey Shore by Sandy Hook. And we noticed during the summer, at 5 o'clock, trying to get home on a Friday night was awful. You know, a 10-minute trip could take you 45 minutes to an hour or so. We decided about 7 or 8 years ago, even before COVID, like 8 or 9 years ago before COVID, but 7 years before COVID started, we had an office optional Friday. So we had practiced what we preached. You can, with our systems, you can either take your phone home or if you have two phones, one in the office and one at your home, they both ring together. So see, you can either answer either one seamlessly. So all of my staff had equipment at both of their locations so that when COVID happened, we actually never told our staff not to come to the office anymore. It just kind of happened. And we got really busy. So part of it, because all our customers were taking and moving out too. So imagine having, you know, 4,000 customers all try to move out on the same day. And you're helping them connect these phones to their homes. A lot of what we did a lot of times, because some phones didn't have wireless connections. So we instantly bought a couple hundred foot cables. So a lot of people had internet in their house, but not in the right room where they wanted to work. So we literally would send them a 100-foot Ethernet cable, and they would plug it in the basement and go up the stairs and put it wherever they needed to work. And they were happy. The happiest thing in the world was when they got their phone back and they were able to communicate effectively. So it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world, but guess what? You weren't getting any. No one was coming to your house. You weren't having right. cocktail parties.
Nobody's coming.
So it was literally, yeah, I'll just run this for now and it's okay. And then some upgraded new equipment that had some stuff. Other phones had a little dongle in the back that for about $35 you could buy a Wi-Fi connector. So, but to get through everything, we literally sent most of our customers who were having problems big long cables to connect to their internet so that they could have a wired connection at their house too.
Now, you're a large part of your business is sales. You're yeah. selling mm-hmm. products. You want to get yeah. new customers.
Yes.
When you want to get a new customer and you have salespeople, whether you're doing the sales or someone else is doing the sales in your company, do you find it's as effective to try to get to close a sale remotely as it would be if you're in the same room with the person you're trying to close and you can actually, you know, have interpersonal relations? I don't find it is.
That's a great question. So if you asked me this question 5 years ago, I would have said, absolutely, you have to get in front of the customer. Now, maybe not so much. You know, customers are you know, a lot of customers did want to see you, but, you know, a lot of customers were out there. They knew what they needed to do. So.
Well, now we're past COVID, so now right. it's not a health issue. It's whether it's effective.
Right. We still do a lot of in-person stuff, but we're doing some other, you know, remote stuff too. So it's become a hybrid. The entire, even sales has become a hybrid, you know, thing where you know, the old salesperson used to have the briefcase and go on the road and these road trips and traveling salesmen. The sales process changed along the way at some point to not knocking on cold calls, but making appointments. And some things we do meetings because a lot of offices now have staff that's remote. So if you want to meet you can't meet all. So a lot of times, even if you go to the office, you can't get all the decision makers in the same room at the same time. So sometimes it is more effective to do a remote meeting.
So I know from, as we're both members of the strategic forum, I mean, I look forward to having those in-person meetings. We had we went to Nashville and had I don't know if you call it a convention, a meeting in Nashville between the Florida and the New York mm-hmm. chapters. And I don't think we could do that remotely. It wouldn't be the same thing being in the same room. To me, I'm kind of sad mm-hmm. that the world seems to be going that way.
Right.
And there's not as much personal connectivity.
Well, as an attorney, what are you seeing more of your clients who are meeting remote, or do you still do the more face-to-face at the same time?
I'm finding after COVID, more and more clients, they want to meet. They want that hand-holding. They want to, right. mm-hmm. There's a level of comfort when you're in the same room with someone, mm-hmm. because maybe it's because of the nature of the relationship is different than the relationship you have with your clients. You're just providing a very specific service. I'm providing advice in a wide variety of
counsel.
Yeah, counsel in a wide mm-hmm. variety. Maybe that's what the difference is. And I find that people that are in the tech industries are much more comfortable in not having live contact.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're much more comfortable doing everything remotely.
At the same time, we actually go to our client sites all the time too. So we're always even during COVID. You know, we were out at doctor's offices and fixing things that were, you know, doctors couldn't be remote. You got to go see the doctor. You know, there's some telehealth, maybe mental health, but a lot of OBGYN isn't going to do, you know, hold the phone up to your belly here. You know, it's right. It's you definitely need to have it in person. So, you know, everyone's putting on masks and everything else. And so some things, and so if that doctor had a problem, we would have to go out and fix it because they needed, you know, there were that first line of, you know, of type of businesses that had to be out there, supermarkets and this and that, all those kinds of businesses that needed to communicate even more so now that they couldn't get face to face.
Is AI affecting your business? Is it having an impact on your business?
Not yet, but it definitely will be because we're starting to do some things with AI. If you've ever gone on a robocall these days, right. or a lot of larger companies, they're playing around with AI, but we haven't kind of pulled the trigger because it just doesn't work well. I mean, if you've ever tried to communicate with a Verizon or, you know, some more large competitors out there, our competitive advantage is that we actually answer the phone live. Verizon is anything they can do possibly to make your experience horrible because they have this horrible computer answer and they say, so tell me what you want to do. And you say, I have a problem with X, Y, and Z. And it's like, so tell me what you want to do. It's like, you know, people want answers quickly. They don't want, it's just not efficient. Mm-hmm. If the AI were good, people would have no complaints, but most
what
people.
What do you think of chat? Is chat good?
We embrace chat because, we have a multi-channel support mechanism. So you can email us, you can call us, you can chat with us. You go on our website and, we've got a little thing, you know, contact us kind of thing right on the website we can do. We do a lot of remote stuff where we'll take over a computer and help install software and things like that. Some of our remote stuff. These days you have to have multi-channel for support. People want support in different ways. Some people want to chat. Some people want to talk. Some people want to, you know, send emails. So either way, you know, at the end of the day, having a happy customer is really what the most important thing is. We don't measure, most of our competitors measure how many calls did you take and how long were you on the phone and, you know, this and that. We have one metric at the end of the day. Were all of our customers happy? And if that answer is yes, then we've done a great job.
And where do you see, let's take a time frame of 3 years, where do you see your industry being 3 years from now? How is it going to change? Because it's an evolving industry, and these technological changes are impacting it. How do you see it? How do you see it going?
Oh, voice is still an important part of the equation. People still want to, you know, you want to make a reservation for a restaurant, you're going to call, you want to talk to, you know, I'm not going to chat with an attorney. You're never going to do a consultation with chat. It's either an in-person or a web meeting. I think video has been always saying it's out there, but still voice, we're doing a podcast. Where's the camera? There's no camera here. We're just doing a podcast. So voice is still.
Well, we may go to video soon, but voice, right now we're just doing.
Voice is a very powerful medium. It's a very, you know, you don't, you know, with the advent, we actually, our calls actually sound better than a traditional phone system because we use something called HD voice. So if you're on an HD call, you get a lot more spectrum. So you hear inflection, especially if you're talking. There's a lot of immigrants in the U.S. now. So if you're talking with anyone who speaks with any kind of accent English, because of HD voice, the actual conversations are much more intelligible than a non-HD voice. So it's amazing how you get inflections and things like that you would just miss on an old-fashioned phone system. So voice is still going to be, I think, part of the equation. It might become a little bit less, but AI will come in and take maybe some live stuff away and take some simple transactional things to do. But people don't mind working with a robot for transactional if it works, but it just doesn't. It's kind of not ready for prime time right now.
I remember when I was younger, the first cell phones that were big, huge block.
Right.
And then there was so much evolution of them. You had flip phones. You had all different.
I was in the industry from day one. Yes.
You had BlackBerry phones. Yeah. Now we have what's called smartphones. What do you think a phone's going to look like in 3 years from now? The phone that we have.
Well, it's funny. The phones went from being very big. I remember we put in 1986. I put my first cell phone in, and it was over $3,000. It didn't work very well. And all of a sudden, Spring comes out. And these were very small companies, you know, Cellular One we were working for in central New Jersey only had 30 and 40 employees. And I go to one of the engineers because we're all talking to each other. I go, what happened? Like, over the winter, things were great. And now, why do all the calls sound bad? Why there weren't many cell sites? They were still building. So it was still building stuff out. And the engineer goes to me, well, now there are leaves on the trees. And it just the leaves block the signal. I mean, that was literally how far away the cell sites were from everything. The world's changed since then. Now there's a cell site literally on every corner. You see buildings and this and that and everything else. So
now I have a phone now, an Apple phone with a bunch of apps in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Am I 3 years from now going to have, is my phone going to look the same as it does now?
I know, because 10 years or 15 years ago, your phone would have been one third the size of that. It was all about making things small.
Well, there wasn't smartphones. The big, I think the big technological jump was the evolution of the smartphone.
100%,
That everything and the app stores, everything's on apps.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see that going in 3 years? It's still going. That's why I'm asking you, is it going to be something like this, or is it going to be just one big app, or just is it going to be like Star Trek, and we're going to have just a communicator that's going to do everything?
People like a bigger screen, so you need, there's still visual on that. So I think the phones have been getting progressively a little larger. Unlike Hershey bars, Hershey bar used to be this big, and now they keep making the same price. They keep making 5 or 6% smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right.
Pretty soon the Hershey bar will disappear. Pretty soon your cell phone will become an
iPad. That's a question of inflation with the Hershey bar.
Yes, yeah.
The phones get more expensive. It's not a question of inflation. Right, it doesn't matter if it gets bigger or smaller. Right. It's going to get more expensive.
Right. Yes. Oh, it's definitely going to get more expensive. And the phone has become like a little iPad now, too. The Samsung makes the Fold, which makes the screen even bigger. I think you're going to see some different form factors. And you might actually see some kind of branch off where I would imagine you'd have a phone with a small screen that can snap into something that maybe a larger one, so that when you're in your computer, you can actually take your phone and your phone becomes your main communication device. You're not going to have a laptop and a phone. Your phone actually will do all the processing on.
So the phone will replace the laptop.
Probably at some point. It's getting, because it's cloud. Everything's becoming cloud connected, so you don't need as much storage, and storage is becoming much smaller. It's gotten down to that, the used to be 20, the difference between the actual size of the distance between the electronics went from 20, and it's now down to about 7 microns. So it's become much smaller, and they're stacking multiple layers on top now and everything else. So I think you're going to probably see a more power, as they get more powerful, it'll probably become your only device as opposed to more than one device.
I know that I used to remember, and we're old enough to remember this, there used to be payphones outside. Yeah. Now there's no more.
Right.
You don't see payphones anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I still have, I don't know why I have it, but I still have a home phone line,
right.
Mm-hmm. which I get spam and political mm-hmm. announcements on, nothing else.
Right.
And I just somehow I'm having trouble disconnecting, and I think it's because it's bundled and it's really not costing me very much.
But everyone, that's the most common thing is, I have this bundle with voice in it. And I go, if I don't have it, my bill's going to go up. I go, it can. I mean, that's just because there's taxes and everything else. At the end of the day, if you did not have a phone line, your bill would go down. Not a lot, maybe a lot, because, they're giving you a little bit of a break, but it's like, they're just trying to keep the stockholders happy, so you have an extra phone line. They can count you as like one person still there. So,
but you see that going away, right? There's not going to be there's not going to be any wired phones or any kind of internet phones. Everything's going to be your own cell phone. It's not going
to
be.
People might have multiple numbers. I think the cell phone is going to be able to have more than one number in it.
Right.
So, what we did for our, and I don't get any more of those robocalls for my home phone. If you dial it, when you dial my home phone, it says, "Thank you for calling the Gallagher residence. For Andy Galkin, press 1. For Paul Galkin, press 2. For Joan, press 3. Right. And for me, press 4. And it literally goes to our 4 cell phones. So the robocallers call and they don't ever press anything.
They don't know what to do.
It fills all those robocalls. And when the pharmacy calls and they're looking for my wife, they press 3 and they leave a message for her. So because, we haven't given out that number in forever. I still go in the supermarket. That's the number I put in my, But even now, that was like the last, because the supermarket's got that phone number thing a long time ago. Like they were one of the original people.
I have that too. That's the one place that I do use it. It's my in ShopRite. I have that as my.
Right. But my even after that, every time I use my phone, I'm using my cell phone for most things these days.
Do you think there's going to be something that replaces the phone itself? Is there some device that could replace the phone? The phone has become so limited. It went from wired phones to big phones to small phones. Are phones always going to be around? Or is there going to be something that just becomes something you put in your ear that replaces the phone, and maybe you have a pair of glasses,
right,
and you see a hologram of of who you're right talking to? Do you see it going that way?
I do and I don't. Well, they had a communicator. They didn't have a.
Yeah.
They missed that one.
But in your glasses, you could have a phone.
Yeah.
The phone could be part of your eyeglasses, couldn't it?
Apple just came out with a $3,000 set of goggles VR yesterday.
Right.
And
couldn't that be a phone? Couldn't that be part of a phone?
Easily, yeah. I actually have a for my birthday. What do you get someone who has everything? They got me the Meta,
right?
One, and I'm the biggest addict in the world in it now. I use it a couple times a day. There's exercise things you can do with it. There's all kinds of great games and everything, and not expensive. It's only, I think that's in the $300 range. You know, where the Apple one is just probably a little bit too expensive, I think.
See, I in my thinking, in looking at the future, I look at VR as combining with communications. And that your VR goggles will be your communication device. It will be that you'll have numbers, and you'll just in air just point to the numbers and pick it, and you'll be able to just actually won't pick numbers. You just it'll be voice controlled. Just say call, call Michael Galkin, and it'll just dial you, and I'll be able to see you through the virtual reality, and we can have a conversation, and that's where it's going to go. Instead of having phones anymore, I don't think phones are going to be around in 5 years.
I still think I disagree with that one because so Meta, who made the device, who makes the VR devices, tried to give it to their staff to do these meetings like you're talking about, and they're not even using it themselves. So, and they actually designed, invented, and trying to publish it and push it. People still are doing Zoom meetings at Meta. As opposed to doing meetings using the VR headset. So I think, again, it's just not ready for prime time. It might be, if we did this podcast a year from now, I might change my opinion. But I think right now, given everything that, and Meta found, said the headset was a big failure with them financially. So I think they did $10 billion in development and it didn't work. You're seeing a lot of... Even like Amazon right now with the Alexa, everyone's cutting back. So Alexa is a free service. You know, it costs Amazon a gazillion dollars a year to keep that running and everything else. You see, they're starting to try to cut their losses a little bit because they haven't figured out a way to monetize it. So I'm not sure Facebook. What do you pay like monthly for a meeting? If they became the meeting organization or Google, everyone's trying to figure out the next big thing. It might be, but today, given today's technology, a phone call is just too easy to make, and everyone has a phone number, so it's easy to find people. So if you need to find a discongruous group of people, you need to have phone numbers for everybody. If you want to, all of a sudden you're an attorney and you need to do a deal or have a talk with another law firm in Chicago that you've never done, the common denominator for everything is still that phone number. So that's the way you would get a hold of them. And the phone companies are not going to give up that right to control the ability to contact people on a whim quickly and effectively without a big fight.
One big change that I see is I notice in my car and I notice on my television, I use voice more instead of plugging in numbers or anything.
Right.
It seems to be much more responsive than it was in the past. I can put in a name or an address, and it seems to understand it. And I think that's getting better.
And conversely, people are wary that I'm sure you're not the only person who says, "Hey, I hear Mexico is nice weather in the winter," and all of a sudden, your advertisements, you haven't said anything to it's listening in the background and it goes, people still think that there's some kind of conspiracy and there just might be. I mean, I don't know
how listening.
They're listening.
They're
right?
listening to what
so
we're doing.
If you just say, Alexa, if you don't say Alexa, I think Mexico has nice weather now, It still hurt you.
Yeah. You'll get ads about it. About so it, you know they're listening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where do you see VoiceNext going in the next few years?
We're going to be around. I built businesses with big companies, and people you think you should be scared of big companies, but I'm not afraid. You know,
are you going to expand your product line? Are you going to offer additional services?
Sure, we do that already. I mean, when we started, we were just strictly telecom. Now we've got our own meeting app. We've got our own we got our own text app. So you know, we're enabling our customers and clients to be able to go out there multi-channel and to do everything they need to do to communicate with their constituents in an effective way.
So in summary, your industry was able to, your big company was able to thrive during COVID. It didn't really have a negative effect on you. It might have been a little bit busier.
Yes.
And you're not going back, really. You're just continuing to go forward now that we're out of the COVID period.
Right.
And those changes and the things that you did during COVID, you're continuing to do, and the services are continuing to be made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
and during COVID, we actually there was a lack of communication and touch and everything else. So what we did was we actually came out with during COVID, because our marketing changed, and we Halloween. The first Halloween COVID, we were all stuck for March, April, May, June, like 7 months, nobody's left their house. So we made a package to send out to our clients, trying to acknowledge it, because so we sent every client we had a custom VoiceNext.
A VoiceNext mask.
We put a little, some VoiceNext candy corn, and we put a letter in saying, listen, it's been... and I haven't looked at this in about a year. The past 6 months have been challenging for everyone. We could not have foreseen. We're committed to helping you better serve your company and your clients through VoiceNext communication, our cloud communication platforms. We've been locked up way too long. Our founders just like to bring some normalcy back. We're just trying to bring normalcy back. So we sent this to every one of our clients. They had a mask, a little candy corn.
And you think they appreciated it? Did it get a good response?
It did, actually. And what we did was we actually did it as a fundraiser for some of our clients who were not-for-profits who couldn't have galas and couldn't do some other things. So what we said was, if you go on our website and give us an honest review, I never wanted to, you know, we'll give not to you, but we'll give to the not-for-profit a $50 donation, you know, to do that. And if you take a picture of the mask, if you take a picture of you wearing the VoiceNext mask, we'll double to 100. So we helped support our not-for-profits and everything else during COVID, and just try to make people feel it was a tough, that first October was just a very, very tough time, yes. You know. So we try to do fun things, and my staff, we brainstormed this one day. We're trying to think, what can we do to make us all feel better?
Well, it was a way to connect. In other words, we're talking about connection, you know, if you're not connecting in person, at least you're connecting and you're giving them
a
smile.
It came in a black envelope with a big jack-o'-lantern on the front of it and everything else. So, you know, people had no idea until they got it what it was. So they they opened up, and it was it was one of those fun things that we tried to do to, you know. We don't have a gecko, so we have to do something to make ourselves look kind of, silly and everything else.
You have a Galkin, not a gecko, right?
Right, yes.
In the company. Yes. Anyway, Michael, thank you for sharing your thoughts and participating in the podcast. It's been, I think, very educational, and I think people have learned a lot. And it's an exciting industry that I whether you're right and we still have phones, or whether I'm right and we're wearing our phones,
right.
And it becomes a wearable device. We'll see in the future.
We'll come back and either one of us will say,
I told you so.
Right.
All right.
Someone's going to owe someone a dinner for that at some point.
Okay.
So, yes.
Thank you for coming, Michael, and thank you for participating in this podcast.
Thank you. Thanks. Have a great afternoon.